Good afternoon, everybody. This is Matt Shea broadcasting from St. Regis, Montana. Beautiful St. Regis, Montana, here at the Red Pill Festival. Good afternoon and welcome to Patriot Radio, brought to you by On Fire Ministries and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. It's not about right or left. It's about right and wrong, about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ, about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it is about the gospel of the kingdom. We are here for the gospel of the kingdom right in the heart of the American readout. So many God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans here today talking about the real threats to our country and real solutions. It is important to understand there are forces at work right now that want to destroy our republic. They want to take us in a direction of communism, of jihadism, of Islamism, and also you have these technocrat elites trying to use those two counterstates as their primary weapons to bludgeon Christian patriots. Well, today with me, I'm going to have a bunch of guests on the show, but today with me right now, it is my great honor once again to bring on Bill Jasper, senior editor of the New American Magazine, one of the great investigative reporters of our time. Bill, thank you so much for joining me.
Matt, a pleasure as always. Always a joy to come on your program.
Well, let's talk about what is happening right now and why we're here. If you could, just give a synopsis. Why are we here? Because there's Vice Media here in the London Times. This must be a nefarious gathering of people with
extremists.
Cowboy hats. Extremists, yeah. All right, go ahead.
Well, yes, I mean, that is very interesting and very revealing. Now, why would the London Times and Vice Magazine send crews, TV crews, camera crews, all the way out here to little St. Regis, Montana? What is it that has them so disturbed about a small, relatively small gathering of patriots out here? It's very, very interesting and kind of funny, really, that they are searching so hard to find something that they can alarm progressives, alleged progressives, about.
Yeah, you know, we have this right now where in America there are a lot of people that are just missing the fact of what's going on in the rest of the world and how they're starting to clamp down and how they're starting to use tactics and techniques in places like South Africa and Cuba right now to really come against patriots. Talk about your extensive experience, and particularly kind of the misnomer about South Africa, the misnomer about Cuba in regards to, oh, nobody there really wants to be free. That's just not true right now.
Right. So what we're seeing there is really quite horrendous, particularly in South Africa. People there have been suffering under a communist regime the last close to 50 years. And I remember very well in 1979, we had Rhodesia, Nicaragua, Iran, all being overthrown at once by the Carter administration and the globalists, the deep state at that time. And in each of those places, we had totalitarian regimes put in. And, of course, Cuba, 20 years before that. And so the people in those countries have been suffering under total government ever since. And so right now in South Africa, we are seeing the both revolt against that, and then we're seeing the infighting against by the various communist factions fighting against each other and vying for power there. So right now in Cuba, we're being told that, oh, these people are just revolting because they don't have enough food, because the America has been embargoing them. No, they're fed up with the communist regime that's been oppressing them for decades, and they want their freedom. And yes, there are agent provocateurs amongst them to try to discredit them. That's what we see there, and that's what we see here in this country as the evidence is coming out on the January 6th so-called insurrection, that this was all an agent provocateur program of the federal government, that they had their agents infiltrated in there.
I think that's one of the important points. I want to stop you there. There is this controlled opposition that is always part of a communist strategy to try to destroy a country, controlled opposition. And so many people think that can't possibly be here in America, and yet they've done it everywhere but America? That doesn't even make sense, right? They're doing it here in America. They're creating a crisis. And then, of course, the solution is more government.
Right. And I mean, and that's been proven very, very clearly in Michigan with the Governor Whitmer insurrection, where all of the alleged insurrection plotters were being led by federal agents or federal informants, paid informants. So they had to create this narrative that would fit with these white nationalist extremists that the media is continually boiling up. And the same thing with January 6th at the U.S. Capitol.
Well, let's talk about this a little bit right now. We have this continued narrative. It's been conclusively disproven. You did an article about it here a year, almost a year and a half ago now. It's been that long. They always try to bring up Matt Shea wants to create a ethnocentric white nationalist enclave in north, you know, the northern part of the United States. And it all started at this community called Marble. And you know, the immediate response was, you guys know the associate pastor there is black, right? Mm-hmm. And there was no response to it in the media. They just kept saying it again and again, lying outright, even though this had been conclusively disproven. If you could go into this a little bit, this narrative that they try to build, because it's not just about me or about you. It's happening to anybody that is standing up right now. Trump has faced it, but there's been others that have faced it as well.
Well, absolutely. And in fact, right now, Larry Elder, black conservative who's right. columnist, author, Fox News commentator, is running for governor in California against Newsom. And he's one of these white nationalists. Michelle Malkin and so they bring their it goes beyond ludicrous because we have seen this progress from attacking the real hardcore anti-communist conservatives back in the 50s and 60s. The John Birch Society was attacked and smeared repeatedly with this, even though the John Birch Society was in the forefront of exposing the Ku Klux Klan, the neo-Nazis, the American Nazi Party. It opposed all of the racism of the time. We had black speakers, people like Julia Brown and Lolabelle Holmes and a whole list of Leonard Patterson, who were former communists, who are black, who came out and exposed what the Communist Party was doing. They were on our speakers' tours and whatnot. And so we've had, but the Birch Society was singled out for attacks on that. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe it's true. The media keeps saying it. But in the last 10 years, and particularly in the last 4 years under Trump, people saw how vicious the media was and going after everybody, even all black conservatives, other ethnic minority, Hispanics. If you go against their agenda, you're a racist, you're a neo-Nazi, you're a white nationalist. Doesn't matter what the melanin count in your skin is or what your DNA says.
Exactly.
You must be. So the positive part of this is that they've overplayed their hand. They've done it so much. They've overplayed it so much that it's lost a lot of its value. People are saying, hey, they're coming after everyone. So the racist label has been kind of muted a little bit more recently. They finally, the dummies finally said, oh, geez, we're kind of shooting ourselves in the foot. If you inflate it so much, you dilute the value of it. And so now they switched over to white nationalists, to white supremacists, and they keep coming up with variations on that. But that's the good news is that it has lost a lot of its stigma because people realize that it is being used viciously, promiscuously, politically to demonize those who they are against, rather than answering the debate, rather than dealing with the issues. They simply try to label lynch you with that label. They do the same thing with homophobic, with hateful, intolerant. Anyone who stands for morality, for Christian values, for American patriotic values is going to get labeled. And so Americans who are real patriots have to get over that, say, hey, look, you have to realize as soon as you're willing to stand up, you better be willing to stand up and fight for and to expect that you're going to be attacked, you're going to be called a racist. Okay. So, you know, what we have to do is keep on the attack and keep moving forward.
Well, I think absolutely that's correct. We have to stay on the attack. We have to stay on the offensive. We have to be pointing out their total hypocrisy. And the fact of the matter is, they're the ones that hate anyone that is different from them.
Particularly, they are Christophobic. They are thoroughly opposed to Christians, you know, unless it's one of those alleged Christians that buys into their agenda and embraces the LGBTQ BLM agenda.
We have a little bit of history that needs to be talked about here, too. I think it's super important. I've been studying about Rhodesia, what happened there, how they were sold out, how the British intelligence was involved in that at the end of the Carter administration, and how it was painted, you know, that all these folks in that area of the world had to be racist, even though that was conclusively disproven. It was not true. And all they focus on is that part of it, when in fact they miss the fact that the Chinese and the Russians were both funding communist rebels coming in from Mozambique, coming in from Zambia into what is now modern-day Zimbabwe, and going further south later, and the fact that Nelson Mandela was a communist. He was associated with it. So let's talk a little bit about this history and how they try to do it there and how that really is a template, I think, for what they're using here. They attack the fuel supplies, they attack the food supplies, they attack rural farmers, and we're really seeing a repeat of what happened 40 years ago.
Absolutely. And we need to point out that Rhodesia and then subsequently South Africa, these were the countries, the white dominated countries, where all the black people from Africa were fleeing to. I mean, they weren't trying to flee out of those countries. They were fleeing from the communist regimes that bordered them.
Exactly right.
And yes, South Africa had a large homeless population, as did Zambia. Whenever you get a huge influx of people coming in like that, it creates problems. And they weren't perfect societies, but they were the places where everybody in Africa, black, white, there were lots of Asians in, and still are, in South Africa and Zimbabwe. That's where everybody wanted to be. And since they were overthrown, those places have become hellholes. What you pointed out is very important, because both Rhodesia and South Africa were very prosperous, stable societies, and they were providing all people of all different races and ethnic backgrounds with a possibility of having a better life. And so they had to destroy that. So the communists did use terrorism. They disrupted the food supplies. They were constantly attacking the energy supplies. And equally important, they had, just like we see here, they had their insiders in the government who were constantly aiding them, and in the media. The Rhodesian and South African media, you'd think, well, they would have an interest in exposing this. No, they were going along with the New York Times and the Washington Post, because Oppenheimer and other big insiders there from the Rhodes Network, Cecil Rhodes Network, ended up controlling all of the media. And so, so you had the communists, regimes, particularly those funded by Beijing and Moscow. You had Wall Street, big insiders, working against them, and all of the American media. Here in the United States, we had day after day after day constant attacks on the human rights violations in South Africa and Rhodesia. Do they say anything about the human rights violations in China? No,
right, or Zambia, or right. You know, we have this issue here in America where people, again, don't think it's possible that this could happen. But it, Colonial Pipeline was attacked, and it was along with 20 other companies, which did not make the news. And they were attacking the fuel supplies again, and they were also trying not just attack the food supplies. Now they're trying to attack the supply chain for food supplies. So fuel supplies, food supplies, just like they did there too.
Right, and so it's across the board. Of course, food and fuel are very essential, but going along with fuel is water. If you don't have the fuel and don't have the energy, you're not going to be able to pump the water. You're not going to be able to get water to the cities. And this is what we saw in about virtually every country. If they can cut off the power, so you can't pump the water, you can't live very long without water. You can't clean, you can't drink, you can't cook, you can't do any of those things that you need to do. You can't handle all the human refuse and everything. And so we are seeing all of that take place here in this country now with the attacks on our energy supplies, the attempts to destroy our fossil fuel industry, the attempts to take down all of our dams and all of our and switch us all over to solar and wind, which is going to devastate not only our energy supplies but the environment as well. I mean, a huge footprint that it takes.
Right, and I want to key on that. You know, Texas has its own energy supply. It's its own energy producing region. And all of a sudden they have problems because of all these policy and regulations. Washington, which actually exports power to 10 states, all of a sudden has rolling blackouts. And, you know, they try to make excuses for it, and I understand some of it. But the fact of the matter is the policies have strangled our energy supply and actually made us now, under this pretender's regime, more dependent. But it's all part of the overall plan, and that's what I want to make clear to everybody.
Absolutely. You know, we're being attacked. It's an all-out attack on every aspect of our lives, on our children, on our elderly people, on our freedom to move, on our freedom to make our own decisions about where we're. I live in the relatively free state of Idaho, and so I don't have to deal with face diapers and socialist distancing and all of those on the basis that so many of my fellow American citizens have to deal with in their people's republics where they live. But I just had my first experience in a long time. I quit flying for a long time because I didn't want to have to deal with this. But I flew back to the Freedom Fest in South Dakota, which is another relatively free state where Governor Kristi Noem has gone against the Fauci fascism and all of that. And so you didn't see many face diapers out there on people. But when I got on the plane, of course, that's federalized. And so before you get on the plane, if people aren't flying, I mean, it infuriates me to go in there and see even little children with face diapers on. To me, that's child abuse. Even Fauci has had to admit that little children are not at risk, et cetera. But they, nope, got to have the face masks on.
Yeah, and for everybody that's listening in, you know, we have all this in the background right now because we are at a festival, and we have a great speakers all day long, and one of them is Heather Scott. She was just on the stage, so she said something that very clearly resonated. I want to also go to the next part of this, and that is Cuba. Right now, we're seeing the same thing in Cuba. People have had enough. They're standing up. They're rising up, and we are seeing the mainstream media essentially apologize for the Cuban government, just like they apologized for the communists in South Africa, right, who one of their favorite thing was necklacing. They would put a tire around somebody's neck and literally light it on fire. This was a communist tactic to terrorize the whole population. We're beginning to see this happen in Cuba, where they're actually going and shooting people in the streets. No outcry or very little outcry, right, from the mainstream media.
Right. So you can have here in the United States a rally like they're having here today, and a bunch of Antifa, if they were to show up, the media that are here would undoubtedly focus not on the Antifa disruption, but they would say, oh, gee, these right-wingers didn't allow Antifa to interrupt. but when it comes to
that's
Cuba,
exactly,
of course, we can't get into it without mentioning, of course, since you already mentioned the media, that we wouldn't have had a communist dictatorship there without the New York Times and Herbert L. Matthews, who told all the American people that Fidel Castro, he's not a communist, he's a George Washington, you know, he's going to be a liberator of Cuba. And even after Castro came out and finally admitted, yes, I'm a communist, I've always been a communist, Herbert L. Matthews said, oh, no, I don't believe, he's not a communist. So the New York Times, of course, and all of our major media have been the indispensable, complicit partners in all of this, time after time, in China, in Romania, in Poland, in Cuba, in Nicaragua, whatnot. Our media, as Donald Trump rightly pointed out, the New York Times, CNN, CBS, and whatnot, are the enemy of the American people. He didn't say the media in general or journalism is the enemy. He said these specific media, fake news, are the enemies of the American people. And they are. They have been colluding with the enemies of America, and they are pushing it forward on every front to destroy us morally, spiritually, politically, economically. And we see it now culminating. A lot of people are waking up and going, geez, what happened? In just 1 year, the whole country's falling apart. Well, no, this has been building as we've been reporting for the last 50 years. Look, folks, don't wait till it gets to the crisis point, till they've permeated. Our enemies have put their agents in all parts of our government and all of our main institutions, and then they start pulling all the strings all at once. That's what we're seeing here now.
It is, and I want to talk about how the John Birch Society, particularly in New American, have been able to expose these pretenders and expose not just rhinos. Everybody's focused on Republicans in name only right now as the fifth column, but really the media has been the fifth column. There have been people in business that have been part of the fifth column, and the New American has done a fantastic job of exposing who these people are, how they really vote, what they really say behind the scenes, and that's really, I think, been indispensable to, waking this mass up who finally said, you guys were right. You guys have been right for 30 years plus. This is really happening, and now we want to know what to do, and that's where I'll end too, is what do we do?
Well, glad you asked that, because for decades we've been pointing out that, look, our enemies are the communists, obviously the Soviet Union, Russia, China. They're obviously our enemy, all these open communists. But we've been pointing out for decades that every one of the communist regimes has received indispensable support from some of our major corporations, major foundations, and major media outlets for decades. And we see that happening right now, particularly with regard to China. We have HSBC, one of the biggest banks in the world, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citibank, all of the major Blackstone, BlackRock, Carlyle Group, all of the big Wall Street giant firms have been real big into China for the last 30 years. And in the last few years, they've upped their ante in investing their money into there and helping China come in and invest its money here in the United States. And so we have been in the forefront of pointing out that, look, these folks, particularly those associated with the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, and its adjunct groups like the Trilateral Commission, they have actually, in their own writings over and over again, stated that they are globalists. They do not believe in just the nation state. They're opposed to the nation state. They want to see us absorbed into a new world order in which China and Russia will be the models that we will follow. They like, Berkshire Hathaway's CEO and co-CEO said, they like the way Xi Jinping is running China now and the way he's clamping down on their people. So they are trying to move us in that direction. And we have been pointing out that, look, we need to inform our fellow Americans that this is a huge effort by people in our own government and in our own business communities,
yeah,
that are working with our enemies openly here. And this has to be opposed in Congress. We have to oppose it politically. That means we have to be working together with other Americans to expose and oppose those people in political office and those people in corporate suites who are doing this. And we have to not just inform ourselves about it and spend all our time on the internet watching YouTube videos or whatnot, but we have to join together with other fellow Americans who are not only working during election years but are working day in and day out to stop bad legislation, to promote good legislation, and to promote the moral foundations that are going to be that are going to support a free republic.
It's going to take all of us to stand up and fight. Where can people go to learn more about the New American Magazine and the John Birch Society?
Well, the easiest way is to go to thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com, or jbs.org. And we have in there a regular agenda. You can get email alerts on all different topics and on all those areas of legislation at your state and national level, so we can so that we can join hands, join forces all across the country and help move this country forward.
Just so excited by how many people are here at the Red Pill Festival. You can hear them in the background. It's been awesome. Bill Jasper, thank you so much for everything you've been doing. Senior editor of the New American Magazine. And, you know, I think we're going to see freedom and liberty renewed in our generation.
Well, that's what we have to be committed to.
Amen. All right. Thank you again.
Thank you, man.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Representative Heather Scott from Idaho, famous, infamous, however we want to say it. Heather, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. You just gave a speech. We heard actually in the background of the interview with Bill Jasper, the crowd really cheering for you. So what's going on? What'd you tell the audience today here at the Red Pill Festival?
Well, it's a secret. You should have been here.
Ah, I love it.
Well, you know what? I just wanted to share that. The problems we're dealing with in Idaho and Montana, they're happening all over the country. It's not just in your little place of the world. It is a spiritual battle everywhere. And I tried to offer some solutions on things we can do to basically turn things around.
And we have the opportunity in our generation to do this. And I think so many people have been focused on what the enemies of this country have been doing. But really, I'm really focused on, hey, people are raising up. They're waking up to what's happening, and they want to get involved. They're like, what do I do now? What do I do now?
Every day people are waking up, and they're on fire. You know, many people have been in the fight for a long time and were worn out. But this new batch of people, they are with it. They're excited. They're committed. And they see what they're losing.
So you have been on the front lines for freedom for a very long time. I personally learned that the worst things that I came against came from inside the Republican Party. I'd like, as much as you're comfortable, comment on that, that people really need to be involved. And there are some people out there who intentionally say that they do one thing, and when the door is closed, they do something totally different.
It is such a corrupt, evil system, and it's been operating for a long time, and Satan has worked his way into the system, and it is constantly attacks, stroking people's egos, giving them opportunities to feel important and great, and Satan has mastered politics. And so a lot of really good people start to get pulled in the wrong directions, and I think a lot of folks just trust these people are good, but they are in a battle every day, and so it's really a good idea to stay on top of your elected officials and watch them and support them.
I think Trump, you know, really, when he ran, he really brought this out because people had to choose a side, right? And the rhinos just try to stay in the middle, and we're never Trumpers. So you would hear it, and you would hear it from their own mouth. So people began to be exposed. At the state level, it's a little harder. Because the guys, you know, they dress up in cowboy boots and a nice hat, and they'll talk with a kind of folksy thing, and, you know, people are falling for it. But really, they're enemies of freedom. They really are.
They are completely enemies of freedom. And I think some of the biggest enemies of freedom are Republicans. And, you know, the Democrats, I keep telling people there's two parties, and it's not Republican and Democrat. It's the party working for the people. And it's the party working for the government, the system, the machine. And there's Democrats and Republicans on both of them. Some of these Democrats are really representing their people. Their people are just liberal socialists. And those people really want to work for their citizens. And it's the machine that continues to work in the middle, line their pockets, just corruption to the core. And I've gotten into that before, how much corruption. But, you know, now in Idaho, what they're doing is they're starting to actually target anyone that brings this up in front of people. You remember, Matt, a few years ago, they came after me for exposing an affair, and they pulled me out of my committees. Now they're basically looking at people's newsletters, and if you say something they don't like, they're coming after you. They're trying to remove you from office and saying that your remarks are disparaging to the body. And so, and they've got the connections, they've got the power within the system to get enough votes to make that happen.
It's almost like they're working with the Rhino leadership in Washington State. Very interesting. So I really was not shocked, but it raised my eyebrows that Priscilla Giddings, been a fantastic, fantastic champion for freedom. She is a combat veteran. She flew the A-10. I love the A-10 when I was on the ground. You see the A-10, you're safe, right? And now they're attacking her. They're doing another $100,000. Hope everybody hears this because this sounds very familiar. $100,000 investigation of with taxpayer money of Priscilla for, again, calling out corruption. And I just, you know, this is a template that they're trying to use around the United States. You know, what is your take on how do we fight back? How do we stand up against this stuff?
So you really have to wake people up for the next election. The reason they're coming after Representative Giddings is because that gal is top-notch. I have never met another person that I've worked with that actually makes me want to be a better person.
Totally agree.
And she does that. She challenges you. She is way beyond these establishment good old boys that have been running the show, and they are terrified that they could lose their position. Now, she's running against Speaker Scott Bedke, who's been in there for over 20 years. And so he thinks he's got it all figured out. But she'd blow him away in a real election. And so I think the best way to send the message on this one is to basically show up and get this gal elected. And that will be a big turning point in Idaho politics to start moving in a better direction.
She'd be a fantastic teammate with Janet McGeachin. So I have watched some of these guys over there claim to be conservatives. They'll vote on a couple of conservative things, and then they stand on that for their campaign. And then they just turn, and especially behind closed doors, because I don't think people understand it. A lot of where the rhinos operate is in preventing bills from coming up, or preventing amendments from coming up, or depriving conservatives of funding, or making them try to moderate their newsletter and all this kind of stuff. That's how they operate.
Yeah, they do not want, they want to protect anyone that will protect them. And they do that by not letting the hard votes be voted on. And so you can never really get good bills for the people passed, because they're never allowed through committee.
Yeah, and it's always that's too out there. It's too on the edge. No, it isn't. Freedom is never on the edge. Freedom is where we're supposed to be. Liberty is where we're supposed to be standing.
Yeah, but we definitely need the protection of the citizens. I mean, the citizens need to be engaged in that election process. They need to follow their, not just the day of the vote, but all throughout the year. They need to be connecting with their legislators and. You know, what are you doing? I mean, many of these legislators spend all summer traveling the country, all these lobby events. I know my seatmate's on an event coming up this week. It's like I'm talking to the people, and they're out with the lobbyists, and that's going on all over the state.
When, in fact, we should actually be with the people. We should be traveling around and speaking with the people. How about that? It's almost like we should be growing liberty or something. I don't know. I've heard that somewhere before. Heather, in the last couple minutes that we have left, what do you think, what would be the number one thing you think people should be doing right now to be involved? And number two, where can they go get more information about what you're doing and hear more about what's actually happening in Idaho?
So the best way to get involved, I'm saying right now, because we're coming into bad times, and you have to have your house in order. You've got to have your home in order. You have to have your life in order. You got to be right with God, because then you're really helpful in the fight. It's, you know, you're way above all the other people. So get your life in order. I put on a website, Growing Freedom Idaho. You can download 101 things you can do to start getting involved that will really make a difference. A lot of these are just silly little things, but they're critical in keeping our republic. So that's at growingfreedomidaho.com. I also have a lot of stuff on Idaho politics on my repheatherscott.com. If you go to repheatherscott, you can look at my old newsletters. You can follow how Idaho is implementing the Great Reset. You can see about some of the corruption in the state. And you can always call me. My number is pretty much everywhere.
It is. You're very accessible, and that's why you keep getting reelected. Heather Scott, thank you so much for what you're doing. You're one of the greatest state legislators in the country. I don't say that lightly. Keep up the fight. Keep plugging away at it. And I look forward to the day when Idaho actually has Christian patriots in charge.
It's coming.
It's coming. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to introduce our next guest here today on Patriot Radio and a really good friend of mine, Britt Smith from Kalispell, Montana, a freedom-loving patriot who has he has a story that everybody needs to hear. This needs to be a national news story, in my opinion, about what happened up in Kalispell, Montana. Britt, thanks for joining me on Patriot Radio today.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right, Britt, tell us a little bit about the background of the 4th of July up there in Kalispell.
Well, this is something that I believe the entire nation needs to hear, and then it becomes a shot, another one, that's heard around the world. The 4th of July, there was a parade. Turns out the city of Kalispell, as I understand, didn't want to throw it, and then I guess the Chamber of Commerce didn't want to throw it, but a private company decided to go ahead. Yes, we have to have a 4th of July parade. And one of the registrants was a gentleman that had a magnificent Clydesdale with a wagon. And on that wagon were several American flags, a Trump 2020 sign, and then on the side a banner for Sacred Waters Brewing. And he has done this in previous parades. There's never been an issue. Everybody loves that magnificent Clydesdale. Well, on the 4th of July, the party that went in front of them was the Democratic Party, and the crowd was booing them. Well, right behind them was this gentleman with the Clydesdale and the wagon, American flags, Trump 2020, and the crowd was absolutely applauding it. And this is caught on video.
Very loudly booing the Democrats and very loudly cheering the Trump wagon, yeah.
There is audio, at least, I think maybe audio and video of this, where, you know, the crowd is definitely booing them and, you know, just cheering. And the driver, He was thinking that, you know, they were just applauding this magnificent Clydesdale,
sure,
and the wagon and all that business. But I've talked to several locals, and I'm 100% in agreement with them, that they were cheering everything he stood for. The fact that we love our country, we love the American flag, we love our children and our grandchildren, and we absolutely know that President Trump is our legally elected president. Anyway, he indicated at the end of the day what a great nation we live in. And then he woke up Monday morning, and he thought he was in a completely foreign nation or maybe even completely off this earth, because he said, I have never, ever, ever realized that there's this kind of evil or that they're this well organized. But what happened was the Democratic Party had their feelings hurt, and they wanted to pull another Antifa or black whatever matters type of, you know, violence and, you know, rioting. They went after every business that sold Sacred Waters Brewing and tried to get them to stop selling it. And they also went to the mayor of Kalispell and said, you know, no further parades ever, you know, certainly no horses. But they were whimpering and crying about the fact that they were intimidated by this Clydesdale and that their life was threatened and this, that, and the other. And I think anybody that has seen the Clydesdales of Anheuser-Busch, I mean, they are just magnificent. And I don't care if you're a one-year-old child or a 90-year-old child. It's just magnificent to watch. And they are literally just pulling all the stops out of pure evil, because the crowd disliked them for what they, you know, stand for, the evil out of hell, basically. And they were cheering a man that truly loves our country. Anyway.
Well, you know what? Why this is so intriguing to me is that their feelings were hurt because they got booed because of everything they stand for, which is communism, destroying this republic, wrecking our economy. And in addition to that, the massive smear campaigns, not just against Donald Trump, but a lot of patriots that have been running at the state and local level, yours truly included. People are sick and tired of it. They want an America that is vibrant. They want an America that is manufacturing again. They want America that is great again. And they were cheering that. That is a good thing. But, of course, the communist tactic is to try to turn things on their head and turn it into something negative or something bad. Nobody was trying to intimidate anybody. It was, and the video is very clear about that. They were walking in a parade and got a lot more cheers than the other people.
Absolutely. I mean, the crowd was booing the Democratic Party for good reason. They know the outrageous. I mean, out of the 320 million people we have in this nation, I would think that 300 million of them are absolutely informed of it, just how outrageously evil they are. What's going on in our schools, what's going in with, you know, D.C., I'm not sure what you call it. And we know that we lost the presidential election by outrageous election fraud and no longer even have a United States when they've taken away our power to vote.
Well, you know what? Here, this is what I want to key on is this. The Montana Human Rights Network is a very Marxist-tied, very Marxist-oriented organization. They were kind of behind part of what was going on up there in Kalispell. They actually came against the Red Pill Festival that we're at today. And what I've really discovered is actually they're the ones that hate anyone that is different from them. If you don't believe in the Marxist line, the socialist line, the communist line, you somehow are deserving of their hate, their ridicule. And to spend that much effort to try to destroy somebody's business just because you had louder cheers for somebody else and you were booed for what you stand for, this is uniquely American. This is part of free speech. We should be able to boo what is wrong, and we should be able to cheer what is good and what is right.
Absolutely. The other part that is a key factor here is that they were accusing and going after a completely innocent company. It turns out that, yes, the wagon did have Sacred Waters Brewing, but they are not affiliated with Sacred Waters at all. The gentleman that runs the company was out of town Saturday, Sunday, and didn't get into town, I think, until late Thursday or Tuesday or Wednesday. And that's when he found all kinds of people calling him saying, well, why are these people saying, you know, shut down all future sales of your beer? And he was absolutely stunned. And he felt like he was, you know, had to, you know, submit a public apology and actually stated, you know, it's in text that, you know, the demon rats were... the Clydesdale intimidated us, and we thought we were going to be trampled and this, that, and the other. And the gentleman that was writing that, he said, listen, I have done this in previous parades. It's always been magnificent. Nobody's ever had an issue until all of a sudden the people are turning against them and booing them for all the right reasons, and they're cheering him for all the right reasons.
You know, I do want to take a little bit of issue with the apology statement. The communists always try to get you to apologize, okay? One of their things is they lie, they double down on their lie, then they want you to try to apologize, right? And they project onto you what they're actually doing themselves. They were actually going into this parade knowing what they're knowing about how people feel about them in the community. So it's not like they didn't go in without knowing they're in a very, very conservative, very patriotic, very American-loving area, and they don't love America. They don't. They're very open about that. They're trying to destroy the entire system. And so my point in bringing this up is in the apology he said that, you know, he was sorry that they mixed beer and politics. But isn't that what Sam Adams did on Independence Day? I mean, I was like, I can't go with you there. You know what I mean?
Right.
There is something fundamental about supporting businesses who support freedom and liberty and not going to businesses that are against all of that. And I think that's why the sales of a lot of major businesses are significantly down, because people just don't want to have any part of it anymore.
Well, the other part that's extremely, for everybody listening to the program, and hopefully this goes viral, not only in this nation, but across the world, that, you know, the hatred is visceral. and it is of all of what our country stands for, you know, freedom, liberty, love of God, and, you know, Jesus, but of our children, our grandchildren, and the passing down of everything we have to our prosperity. And, you know, the ones that have died at war, but if we let this continue, they will, you know, ultimately leverage places like Kalispell, Montana, of all places, to have no future parades. It's absolutely outrageous how far they'll go.
It is, and it is a sign of communism, socialism, fascism, because fascism is a, I don't like the right-left paradigm, but for most people they'll resonate with this. It is a left-side paradigm. The self-proclaimed father of fascism, Benito Mussolini, was the chief editor of the Italian socialist newspaper Avanti. So when we say these things, we're being very clear historically, very clear on political ideology. These ideologies that seek to censor people, that seek to destroy, that seek to kill, because that's what the communists in Cuba are doing right now, and in South Africa for that matter, that is totally antithetical to America. It is totally antithetical, and I think that the hatred that you're highlighting that happened up in Kalispell with these people, it does need to go viral, because if that can happen in Kalispell, it can happen anywhere in the country.
It has and is happening. I mean, to the point where, you know, the riots, the burning of police vehicles, the breaking in of businesses and burning them, and not so much as even a slap on the wrist. I mean, what is going on in a nation that, you know, it's unbelievable, and they will stop at nothing. And this is just one more example of just how visceral that hatred and evil is out of the depths of hell.
Now, Brett, you are an American crowned with wisdom, okay? You have the gray hair of wisdom. You have seen this country for decades. I want you to give your commentary on where America was, where America is now, and where America is going, and what we can do to actually reclaim liberty.
Well, it's interesting that maybe everybody in the listening audience remembers their grandparents and remembers their parents saying, the country is going to hell in a handbasket. The country is going to hell in a handbasket. And here we are, and we have. I mean, we are well into the 11th hour of trying to save a nation that is under attack. What we need to do, number one, is to inform everybody, the listening audience, and then beyond them, you know, your children, your grandchildren. Definitely, probably get them out of public schools. Public schools have been proven to be, you know, just beyond belief. Find the people that are, you know, true Christian constitutionalist lovers of this nation.
I think that's it. And I would make a plug, you know, people need to organize locally. We have to be organized locally to fight these things, whether it's Kalispell or Seattle, to fight back against these things, because most Americans don't agree with Antifa. Americans don't agree with Black Lives Matter. Most Americans, for that matter, I don't believe agree with socialism. But we need to hear this not only from the political sphere, we need to hear this from the pulpit as well. I think that's key.
Well, the churches have failed, absolutely. But I think everybody knows an entity in their local community that is very well informed and a leader. Get behind that person and get educated. And when you do know the truth, I think you will be absolutely shocked at what is going on in this nation. I myself got informed, let's say, year 2000. I'm absolutely guilty as charged. I was working a career, trying to take care of a family, you know, put bacon on the table for my children, make sure they were going to go to college. And then I realized that there's a whole lot more going on in this nation. So I began listening to guest speakers at least once a month, sometimes twice a month. And what is going on in this nation, I wouldn't have thought possible in Nigeria, Africa, but it is true in this nation. So I implore anybody listening to begin to get yourself informed, go to listen to guest speakers. The John Birch Society is absolutely one institution that you need to attend, but also their periodical, which is The New American. The New American has now become the only source that is really telling the truth about what's going on. And they're way, they're decades ahead of the curve. And you're never going to hear it on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, or whatever, and even to a certain extent, Fox News.
Decades ahead of the curve. I couldn't agree with you more. And the American church may have failed. Some people in politics may have failed. But that is not going to happen now. We are winning. We are going to win. We are going to keep winning. And Britt Smith, thank you very much. American patriot from Kalispell, Montana. Keep up the fight. Really appreciate having you on Patriot Radio today.
Thank you.
So I want to thank everybody for listening in today on Patriot Radio. I'm going to end here this show. Caleb Collier just got off the stage here to a huge applause, talking about how liberty is worth fighting for in this life, and not just something that's out there for our families, but maybe not us. You know, it is worth fighting for in this life. And Caleb also brought up a couple of great points. The first is that it is the other side that is acting like the tyrants. It is the other side that is acting like the fascists. It is the other side that is acting like the socialists and communists. That's what they are. They're the ones that have a system that is bent on killing, stealing, and destroying. In fact, that really kind of sums up the Democrat Party platform: killing abortion, stealing socialism, and destroying critical race theory. So you see how the other side, and I'm going to say the other side from this perspective spiritually, we're talking about the spiritual battle that is going on right now. The other side is evil. There is evil there, and people are under the influence of evil. And you know it because it kills, steals, and destroys. So when you see killing, abortion, you know. When you see stealing, socialism, you know. When you see destroying, critical race theory, you know. And the point behind the Red Pill Festival today is to make sure that everybody understands what is coming against this country, what is coming against this republic. And not just talking about it, but actually doing something about it. Organizing at the local level, standing against the socialism, standing against abortion, standing against critical race theory, because it's going to be us, the people, that is the plan. We are the plan. There is not some grand plan out there. We are the plan. We are the plan. And it means that all of us, it presumes that all of us are going to be involved, that we're not going to just sit around and wonder what happened. We're not going to sit around pining over all the things that the enemy is doing and focus on what the enemy is doing. We want to focus on what God is doing in our lives, who God is waking up, who God is activating, who God is bringing forward. And righteous leaders naturally arise in that kind of an environment, and then they can arise and they can be leaders in the political sphere. They can be leaders in the business sphere. They can be leaders in the media sphere. They can be leaders in the church. But it's important that we have, at the very last part of this, the understanding that the first part is the most important, and that is that we give our lives to Jesus Christ, that we're baptized in water, that we are receiving the Holy Spirit, and that we are going out and we are expanding His kingdom. Because when His kingdom expands, so does liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That is a promise. So when we expand the kingdom of God, and we can do it in every area of our lives. We can do it at our office. We can do it at school. We can do it in the political realm. We can do it in so many different ways. But we have to do it. We have to do it. It's not something that somebody else can do for us. It's not something we can watch happen. We have to do it. And that's what I would implore all of you today. The Red Pill Festival is about not just taking the red pill. It is about activation. It is about getting out and doing what God has called you to do for your individual life so that His kingdom expands. His kingdom. It's not about us, not about our own enrichment. But it's about His kingdom expanding. And that was the beauty of the Republic. The genius of the Founding Fathers was that the temple of the Holy Spirit was the government of the United States of America. And when we have that understanding, when we have that grasp and when we actually act on it, the whole world, the whole country, our communities, everything is completely transformed. Completely transformed. And everyone around us is transformed. Our families are transformed for His kingdom. And His promises are eternal. So, you know, a lot of people in the past have fallen into the trap that it's all about preserving the republic. Well, no, it's all about expanding His kingdom, because we are in the offensive mode. We are expanding. We are taking ground. The enemy is losing ground. We are already victorious in Jesus Christ. We are already set for eternity. We need to share that good news with everybody else, and that is the gospel of the kingdom. So today, as we wrap up this episode here at the Red Pill Festival, remember what Bill Jasper talked about at the very beginning. Remember that the enemies of freedom and liberty are predictable. They use a predictable strategy. But the one thing that they can never predict, the one thing they can never defeat, and it doesn't matter if the tyranny is coming from London or Washington, D.C., we will win every time when we are expanding God's kingdom, when we are walking with the Lord, when we are focusing on Him, when we are making Him the center of our lives. He will return to be the center of our country. The only way that the Marxists, the socialists, the communists can win is if we don't stand up, if we let them take it. Because they're in far less number than we are. They always try to make themselves look bigger than they actually are. When we, in fact, God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving Americans, we are in the majority. We are winning. And if that wasn't the case, they wouldn't be expending all of this political capital. They wouldn't be making all these lies up in the media if they were winning. They wouldn't have to. They are deathly afraid of this, that God-fearing Christian patriots on their own soil and their own communities will stand up to their tyranny and say, enough is enough. We want there to be no king but Jesus in our lives, in our community, and in our country. This is Matt Shea. Thank you for joining me today on Patriot Radio. Keep up the fight.